All right, man, here we go.
Here we go. It's Friday. This is our, not our usual recording day, but it is kind of nice to see you on a Friday, Pat.
Life, man, right? Life has been throwing stuff at both of us. You know, speaking about life, I'll fill you in on a couple updates because many shows ago when we talked about my hip replacement, I mentioned I had like a goal at the 1 year mark and a goal at the 2 year mark. Mm. And that goal was at the 1 year mark to do Lynchpin test 5, which is 20 back squats at 2 1/4, 2 mile run, 20 back squats at 2 1/4. I was like, man, if I could do that at the 2 year mark, I don't care if it takes a sundial to measure it, like that would be cool. I'm like, if at the 1 year mark, I could do that at 185 and I don't know, mile run, mile and a half run, like be pretty cool. Well, I did it a couple days ago at 185, full 2 mile run, and it went. I didn't burn it down, but I did the work. I don't feel like I did anything stupid. I feel good. And then building back today with 7x1 deadlift, and I held 365 across for that. So, you know, again, 6 months post that surgery, because it's funny, after we mentioned it, I've had so many people reach out to me that like either have that surgery pending, just had it, or like the one or the other. So hopefully those are useful metrics because I'm just about at the 6 month mark, and that's where I am. So just kind of the quick update. I'm pretty stoked.
Yeah, you should be, man. I think that's a real testament to your consistency and discipline. I know you have, you know, the discipline to obviously get in the gym regularly, but also the discipline to not push too hard too soon, I think can't go understated. So yeah, good hats off to you. That's really cool.
Well, I mean, and also since I'm not a competitive athlete, I mean, my system is flush with performance enhancing drugs. I think everybody should know that. Obviously joking. Yeah. just good juicy. Old macros. macros and sleep.
Juicy.
Somebody's going to like, you know, take that and run. Sherwood's on the juice. Tell you what, deadlift would be a lot higher. Before we kick
you would
off,
hope anyway, right?
Before we kick off, I should say what I always forget to say, which is, we appreciate all of you. Thanks for supporting the show. If you'd like to continue supporting it, check out some of the cycles that we offer. Go to verynotrandom.com. Help get your first strict pull-up, muscle-up, handstand walk, 1.5-mile run. There's really cool stuff, so check that out. And then the other part is if you own a gym, BTWB has got you covered. They've got an all-in-one for gym management, billing, and workout tracking. Just go to btwb.com/all-in-one. Get yourself on the wait list, learn more, and life is great. So that's that. All right, let's go ahead and dive right in. I'm going to read the question that was sent to us today, and we'll see what we have to say. This is from Anthony. Hi, Pat and Adrian. Love your show. I've listened to every single podcast in the last few months. Appreciate that, Anthony. That's pretty awesome. I have a question about the goal of doing CrossFit competitively, and I hope you'll talk about it during a podcast. Anthony, we have the man here, Adrian Bosman.
I mean,
he's going to get you covered here.
You're referencing all of my competitive history with CrossFit, right? My personal accolades and glory in that domain.
I think you're pretty pretty red in though. So let's see.
That's true.
I have a question about the goal of doing CrossFit competitively. Hope you'll talk about it. I've been doing CrossFit for 6 months now. Okay, so that's relatively short.
Yep.
I've been working out for 3 years in total. Relatively short, yeah. Mm-hmm. I can RX almost every workout in my gym. I've just won my first box throwdown, and one coach in particular asked if I would be interested if he could train me for competitions. I'm 28 years old, a police officer, and I've fallen in love with CrossFit. I work out 5 days a week, and I also try to fit in one or two long distance runs. Everything about CrossFit just fits with me, the community, the type of workouts, the style of competitiveness. But I have my doubts. My work, which I do love, is very irregular. Sometimes I work early mornings, evenings, nights. I'm already 28 years old. Most athletes I've seen begin way earlier and peak around the age of maybe 25, 26 in their careers. Do you think it's worth to pursue the competitive world of CrossFit in a serious way? I don't think the games are reachable, but maybe national competitions in my country. I live in Europe. At my age with this type of workout, that takes a lot of time? Or do you think it's only reachable for people who train 2 times a day, have way more free time, maybe don't have like such a serious career or crosses their career? Hope you find the time to answer this question. So there's a lot there, but some interesting stuff because I do think a lot of people do CrossFit, start to do pretty well, fall in love with it, do a competition or two, do well, and then start to think like, I wonder if I should shift what I thought I was going to do potentially with my life or my free time or my outside interest and dive into this. Interesting that he's, this guy, Anthony, must have some, he must be somewhat of a beast, right? Because didn't start working out till he was 25, he's 28. So he hasn't been working out lifelong, only been doing CrossFit 6 months. And I don't know about you, but I couldn't RX most workouts 6 months into CrossFit, let alone go win a box throwdown. So it's something's brewing over there in Europe.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. On the one hand, not a lot of training history, but obviously some you know, recent success. So that's really cool. It does also make me wonder, like, what was the previous background? Because I doubt it was just sitting around watching TV.
No, wasn't badminton. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is. It would be interesting to kind of dig into that history. I'll start with just the blunt answer to the question: should I pursue this? I think yes. No question. I mean, if it's something that you enjoy, it's something that you have an aptitude for, and it's something that you, you know, want to be doing, then I don't see why you wouldn't. I think the devil's going to come out in the details as far as, do you quit your day job and put cash all your chips in and, you know, live on your trainer's couch while you're struggling to pay rent as an athlete on the come up? Well, maybe I wouldn't advise that, but I think there's plenty of middle ground within that extreme scenario that you can absolutely pursue this. So yeah, straight out the gate, I think yes, signs point to why wouldn't you pursue this? I mean, you're 28, you're still young. Don't let anybody convince you otherwise. There's plenty of time to figure these things out. And on a physical level, it's like, dude, anybody trying to tell you that at 28, you're past your prime. It's like, my goodness, come on. What a ridiculous message that is. But I think there's more to discuss as far as what that approach looks like.
I'm so glad you had the little caveat of like, you know, sleeping on your trainer's couch. Really glad you did, because allow me to play the other side.
Yeah.
Should you pursue this? No, you should not. With, of course, some caveats, right? You know, what does pursuing it mean? Because I've seen, and I'm sure you've seen as well, you've seen the gamut. And without talking to Anthony, some people go literally bonkers all in. And just like, you kind of half joke, like, I'm going to leave your day job. We've seen plenty of people do that
100%
all the time. Yeah. And if I had to be also, Anthony, without knowing much more about your situation, please, don't do anything to compromise your day job. Level of commitment, level of time, focus. If you're an actual like police officer and you gotta, you know, chase down suspects, or your partner, their livelihood and them getting home to see their family alive at night is also related to your physical capacity. You're not walking around with like tired and sore and beat up all the time so that you can sprint and jump fences. You can't compromise any of that in your profession. So all of this has to be a very much second seat to what you're doing, because you're not an accountant. You know, last couple of shows, we've really dinged accountants hard. I think we should keep doing that. You know, with Christian, you know, like if you're a little tired and sore at the desk, you know, working out the taxes, you can get away with it. If you're much slower and your reaction time is down in your profession, that's not good. You're walking around, your central nervous system's fried. Like, that's not good, my friend. So I would say whatever you're doing, given your occupation, do that, make it secondary, occupation's primary, and then not to just paint this like land of broken dreams, you know, sort of thing, but like, you know, the somebody who's going to go to Hollywood and become the actor, or going to go to Vegas and hit it big, and you're just still smoking cigarettes at 4 a.m., pulling on the casino, lost all your money.
It's oddly specific, Pat. It sounds like there's a personal story in there.
You know, the Tia Claire Toomeys, the Fronings, the Frasers, who have done so well that they are like financially secure for life or whatnot. Like that's a fraction of the competitive landscape. A
100%.
Fraction. Everybody has starry eyes that's what it's going to lead to. But mathematically speaking, you're going to train a lot. You're going to love what you do. You're going to get some free protein powder and, you know, and it may or may not be much more than that. Some shoes or whatnot. Mm-hmm. Most people aren't that top tier where like agents are like, hey, let me get you a bunch of just gigs here. You're going to represent this company and like do sponsorships. Like, I hope that happens. So it just depends on what level of you want to jump into the deep end. And what I would say again, not trying to be a downer, but the realistic thing of just realize how tough it is mm-hmm. to the difference between being a really, really good CrossFit athlete and a great CrossFit athlete. Good and great might seem like those words are close. They're not close in like levels of physical ability, capacity, training, all that. And then to go from like a great athlete to an elite athlete is another leap as well. Mm. So again, not to be the great cloud, but just to paint it realistically, if you still have some free time and you love it and it puts a smile on your face and throwing down, trying to make it to the national level is super, and you cannot drop the other things in life that you're trying to juggle, then you have my full support.
Yeah. And I think in fairness, based on the structure of the question, it sounds like he's coming into it with a pretty level head. You know, he's like, hey, look, I don't think I'm going to be games bound, but I do think that on the more local level, I can do well. I think that's a great indicator that already we've got a bit of tempering around what being an athlete means. So I'll take that as a sign of, you know, a good faith sign that, okay, we've already got a pretty good expectation level set here. So that, I think, kind of goes in line with my support. And so I think we're closer than, you know, agree, disagree, based on like, I completely agree as far as like, hey, don't quit your day job. Hey, don't do things to compromise that. But yeah, I think if you want to get out there and throw down, yes, you should for sure. Now, something else that stood out to me is this reference of like, I'm 28 and this discussion around like, okay, is that enough time? I believe like, absolutely, yes. Especially if we're framing it through the lens of like, look, I understand I'm not going to stop everything and try to make the games and be the next, you know, Rich Froning. In that context, man, 28, you've got so much time to continue to develop. You know, there are plenty of athletes that find CrossFit later in life and they get better through their 30s, 40s, sometimes even 50s and 60s. And so there's no reason that that can't apply to you.
And there's a thriving master's world once you hit 35.
For sure. Yeah. So that's part of it. And that kind of segues into my next point that jumps out to me is, if you've already kind of put it in your mind that 28 is over the hill, so to speak, in the CrossFit world, and that you're feeling, and that you're feeling like you're behind developmentally, you've already started to set the stage that you need to be rushing the next steps in your progression. And that is what I would really caution you against.
That's
and
a good point, actually. I didn't think of that. Yeah.
Hopefully, whoever is in your corner who's encouraging you to go down this competition road will also understand that and understand that some of these skills and some of the strength base and some of just the capacity base, they take time to develop. And that process
100%
cannot be rushed just by hammering yourself into the ground with multiple sessions and a bunch more time spent daily. That does not necessarily accelerate that process, no matter how much you want it to. I've seen so many people get chewed up by that because they believe I'm behind, therefore I just do more work and I can make up the gap. And oftentimes, that is not the case. You need to give the runway that's necessary to develop that capacity. And trying to force that can be a huge mistake. So watch that mentality of like, oh, I'm already a little old, or somebody made me believe that, and I feel like I, you know, want to take it to this next level. That can really set the stage to believe that you have to just heap on a ton of volume to accelerate that process. Watch out for that.
And again, I think that's linked back to this guy's day job, right? Because maybe you look at the competitive landscape and you're like, whoa, like, look what these guys are lifting. I got to get under that barbell every day. We got to hit this hard. And then you overdo it too soon, too fast, trying to make up for the quote unquote, make up for lost time. You know, you don't do anything serious to yourself, but just strain your hamstring. You know, something happens. And then again, your line of work, which is not a desk job, a strained hamstring. Again, it's just interesting priorities. What about his question here?
Let's see. Hold on. Before we jump real quick, I think it's important to follow up with that and say, okay, you shouldn't try to rush the process. Well, how do you know if the process is happening the way it should? And in my opinion, I think if you're making steady improvements week after week, month after month, and that is continuing, then you are exactly where you should be at that stage. Don't ask yourself what if I could make this 4-week process instead of an 8-week process? Look at the results that are actually happening. And if the trajectory is
up, who would do that?
be happy with that and stay on the path until it is no longer trending in that direction. And now you can ask the question, what do I need to change? But initially, if the progress is where it should be and everything's kind of looking up, don't fall into the what if it was faster mentality.
And here's maybe one other thing to that is, okay, you're on an intelligently laid out path. Steady, incremental, sustainable progress is happening. You're feeling good, right?
Yes.
This goes on for a few months, 6 months, 9 months. And then you're like, well, most people are doing a bit more. I'm going to add in a bit more volume. And things maybe continue to go relatively well. And so maybe you add in a bit more. And at some point in time, there's the potential that you know, maybe nothing catastrophic happens, but you plateau. It's been a while since things really felt like they were sizzling again. And it might be easy in the land of competition to think at that phase, I've plateaued because there's something else I need to add to what I'm doing, where it might be a good, honest analysis of, did you layer in too much too soon and your body actually needs a bit of a break, and giving it a bit of a break will re-spark that incremental progress in PRs again. And I don't know which one it will be without being intimately involved with you, but just keep that in the back of your head is all that I would say.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, what were you going to move on to there? I was going to say,
do you, you know, these could basically get a yes or no question here that maybe you could dive into. Do you think it's reachable? You think, well, maybe competing at the national level, you know, like, hey, games may not be there, but competing at the national level. Do you think this is possible, only possible for people who train two times a day or et cetera? Do you think you can get to that level on one workout a day, or do you got to train more than that?
It is absolutely not necessary to be doing multiple sessions a day, many, many hours a day in the gym to get to that level. If you are willing to give it the trajectory and the time that we talked about previously, I think there's plenty of great examples of that. Ariel Lowen is an awesome modern day CrossFit example of that, where she is now one of the best in the world. She's been to the games a couple times now, and she's been top of the heap. And how did she start and get to the games initially? I believe somebody out there can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe her story was that she showed up to like the noon class at the affiliates, and she was doing that regularly, and she showed an aptitude, and like that's basically what brought her to the dance initially. And now her training has shifted a little bit, but it's still fundamentally different than a lot of the competitors out there. And so, yeah, that's a great example at the highest level. And I think that there are many, many more examples as you go down the food chain a little bit of people that, yeah, they have regular lives and they like to train. And so they do, and they have great results from that. So I don't believe that you need to be, you know, dedicating hours and hours and hours beyond, you know, a pretty high level of consistency daily or close to daily to compete at that level if you're serious about it.
Now, you know, or any dedicated listener knows that you're speaking my language. I'm a minimalist at heart.
Yeah.
So I will put on my hat and play the other side of that as well, which is without knowing much more about you. Most of the people that you're going to be, quote unquote, competing with, I'm going to make the broad assumption, are probably doing more than one workout a day if they're competing at the national level. Not all of them, but I would think a fair number of them. And all I would get back to with you, Anthony, and your coaches, depending upon where you are in the nice, slow, incremental build, you might be able to do more than one thing a day. It just depends upon what knob you're turning. Like we've talked before, like you've got the intensity knob, you've got the volume knob, you've got the loading knob and all this stuff. So maybe you have your hard session that particular day. Maybe it's a 5x5 back squat, whatever it happens to be. Like it's challenging. Well, it may not make sense to do something similar to that later on the day, but that evening you might be able to go out for an easy 4 mile jog, you know, like something like that, a shakeout followed by a nice, you know, stretch session after that, or there's some sort of workout during the day. And, you know, the end of the night is you're practicing some gymnastics positions, you know, working some light technique work with the barbell to improve your, you know, motor pathways on the Olympic lifts, or you're going to get in some sets of strict pull-ups or some weighted dips or something like that. That's, you know, not just this like crazy burner that you did early. Too many of those crazy burners, I think that's going to put you in a bad place really soon. But there might be a way, and I'm even saying this as a minimalist, for somebody with your goals to layer in some other things that are not overly taxing, lower on the intensity, and still getting you a bit more. But be cautious that, you know, each person's a little bit different. and even something as gentle as I just mentioned, you know, you're still relatively new to CrossFit, or, you know, really new, quite frankly, it might be too much too soon. So hopefully you found yourself a coach that knows the game, knows CrossFit, is going to take a real personal interest in you on a regular basis. And that person who's really in your life can kind of help guide that a little bit as well.
Yeah, for sure. No, I agree with that. I think that, again, there's a range between I show up 5 days a week at the affiliate and I do 2-3 hour sessions daily. There's a huge range between that.
Absolutely.
And so I think that, number one, I'll go back to my original answer, which is like, yes, I believe that you could make it to that level with regular, you know, basically affiliate based training. I think that that's entirely possible and likely. I also think that there's a lot of latitude for like, okay, I did the class and then I spend another 20 minutes to your point, just hitting my weaknesses just a little bit, maybe not even with that much intensity, but just a little touch on whatever it is that I'm working on. And that starts to become a regular practice. It's not necessarily a secondary session,
right, but
it's just a little bit of augment to what you've got on the books already.
Yep.
That might be a viable strategy, but again, you know, you just need to have somebody helping you guide through that process.
And absolutely, and
I think that also is the responsibility of the athlete to just really take a good look at like, okay, am I still progressing like we talked about earlier? And if the answer is like, yeah, you know what, I am improving. I can see it objectively with the numbers, with the skills I'm developing, with the improvement of my positions. Great. Then what you're doing is working, and have faith that that's going to continue until it doesn't. And then when it doesn't, now start asking, what can we change to, you know, try to get back on the track.
And hopefully it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway, is the other things that you can control, control. I mean, if you really want to do this and you want to do it well, and you're going to be asking more of your body than the average bear, pay profound, intense, you know, attention to your nutrition. Like, you take really great care of your body. And the other thing, which I think is interesting for Anthony, is in his own words there, is his work schedule is so erratic. Sometimes it's days, sometimes it's nights, sometimes it's evenings. That's huge. I mean, for most people that have a quote unquote regular job, at least you can like keep your sleep regulated. I mean, if you want to perform at a really high level, sleep is like nature's steroids for you. I mean, like you need to rest. If you're going to work the machine hard, you've got to let the machine rest, like undoubtedly. And so if as a cop, you're just kind of tired all the time because this week's different than it was last week, I got something different. Like, that's a really big deal. So I would just encourage you as well, give yourself a bit of grace, and compared to the quote unquote normal athlete with these aspirations with a normal job, you might walk in, even though you haven't done anything crazy with your training, you've been making smart decisions, not too much volume, not too much whatever, but your sleep is so erratic that you walk in on a day that most people would feel good and you just don't. The better choice that day might be ratcheting it down, make it a low intensity day. It's just a technique day, because feeling like you have to hammer today to quote unquote make up for lost time, and then you don't recover again, and then you're out at night working, there could be a spiral there that normal folks don't have to deal with. So I would just keep in the back of your mind.
Absolutely. I completely agree with what you said, that I think paying attention to the habits outside of the gym would be doubly important for somebody who has that, you know, kind of competitive aspiration. And again, going back to my central point, which is, hey, it's easy to believe that all you need to do is just keep heaping stuff on in the gym. It's like, actually, especially for somebody who's new, those lifestyle habits are probably going to have a much more profound impact on maintaining your progress and keeping it steady for longer than just looking for what's the solution in the gym. So, you know, again, it's that old example that you keep coming back to. You spend 1 hour in the gym, let's say, for arguments purposes, you got 23 other hours. Which one of those is going to win out on net when you're talking about the impact that it's potentially going to have? I'll tell you, it ain't the 1 hour. It's going to have a very strong impact, and it's an important impact. But man, you're going to tip the scales in the wrong direction if those other 23 don't at least have some thought as to how they're going to support that in the gym work.
100%. I'll give a real world example of that. After a fantastic training session, just a milestone the other day on that back squat run back squat workout, came in feeling top of the world, fit, fast, and strong. went into the pantry to get my protein shake, and I noticed sitting on the ground, the wife had gone to Costco, and there was just like a 5-pound tub of animal crackers. And I don't know what it was. They're plain and crunchy and delicious. And I found myself in a almost like a zombie-like state, just continually reaching in there until a shocking amount of animal crackers had died. So yeah, 23 hours of bad decisions can really undo something very quickly, no matter how well the workout went. So make sure you're making good decisions. But
and no matter how good those animal crackers tasted, right?
Oh, they're so, and they're still in the pantry right now. It's taking everything I can.
Taunting you.
Oh, they are. The rhinos are the worst. But anything else for Anthony?
No, I don't think so. I mean, hey, man, you're young, you're fit. Go out there, see what you can do. Do it within reason. Don't quit your day job. Again, like Pat said, be realistic about what is able to be supported with your, current job and the responsibilities that entails. But yeah, I think take it and see what you can do with it. I see no reason not to, within reason and with some thought behind how are you going to get there.
And Anthony, I'll say this as well. I don't know, your last name or whatnot, but let us know in the comments of the show how it goes. If this continues for you and it goes well, let us know in the VNR Instagram page. Somehow, basically what I'm trying to say is when you're a national champion, I want to know that you're a national champion.
Know, yeah.
That would be so cool. Or whoever your career goes. I think it's really awesome. Wish you nothing but the best 100%. And, this question's a great example of everybody out there in the community. You all drive the content. Boz and I have an idea every now and then, but most of all of you drive the content. So please keep that coming by going to the BTWB YouTube channel, find this show, leave your thoughts on this topic. If you've got a question that's been on your mind, post that as well. We read those and they help drive future content. Go to the Varied Not Random Instagram account. You can leave a question there, or if you want to be even more anonymous, you can send a direct message to the Varied Not Random Instagram account, and we'll get all those things as well. And that's that. So for Adrian Bosman, I'm Pat Sherwood. Anthony, I hope that helped you, and we'll see you next time.